And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence for you to get to us, for us to be exercised even by your wonderful person. So here we are. Help us understand, and God, that we would honor you the more. And our Father will thank you for all that you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of the first epistle of John, and the purpose of John, God writing it actually, is that we believers might be able to enjoy what God has done for us. God has gone, he created us in his image and likeness, and he went and has a wonderful plan in the light of our, because of Adam's sin. In Adam's sin, we all die. And God has made it possible that as we're born dead in sins, we're able to be alive in God's grace, to be saved and to be alive, and to be that we that are dead, to be alive, to be able to enjoy God's wonderful life. God has made us for eternity. God has made us for his holy heaven. That's why we're here. God made us for there. Now, and therefore, in order to enjoy there, God went to the cross and died and rose again. Now, when he died, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and he put on a human house. He put on a human house to be able to pay the price for our sin. He could not die as God, but he could die as the man God. He could die in Christ in his perfect humanity. And he paid the price. The price was the wages of sin is death. And God died to make that possible so that we could have life. A wonderful relationship to God. That's what it's about. Now, and the world doesn't want to know that. The world doesn't want to know. Generally speaking, they're caught up the world system, and they exclude God. So as we read in chapter 2, 18 and all of that, the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, what do you mean? Well, God, you really didn't die on Calvary's cross for us. God, you really are not in Christ. And all of that, we deny that. We don't mind a cross. We don't mind Easter. We don't mind anything like that. And we believe it and understand it, not like you want us to, God, that you took my sin, our sin, in your own body on the tree and died. The wages of sin is death. I don't want to understand it like that, God. That's the system, the world says. We don't want to understand that. And therefore, we reject the fact that God, who we can't get away from, God died in Christ for me. So when God in Christ, so that God in Christ should be God in Christ in you to be saved. God made it possible for you to be saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, that's the issue that is brought up in the first epistle of John, to be able to exercise and enjoy. Look at 1 John and chapter 1. What are you looking for? What are you asking God for us to understand? Verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, for which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, said John, that purpose ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. I want you to be able to go, it's written, so that we could enter in to the awesome privilege that Peter, James, and John had of our Lord. And it wasn't because they knew him and able to sit in the upper room or to be with him for 3 1/3 years. No, it's to be able to know him in an intimate, personal way, to know him as our Lord and Savior, to know him as our life. That's what it's about. We have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and God the Holy Spirit makes it work. And, verse 4, and these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy, not your sadness, your joy may be full. You ought to be wonderfully, wonderfully excited in a wonderful, wonderful way that you belong to God and God belongs to you in Christ Jesus. And therefore, how are we to enjoy that in the light of the world system? This against us knowing and enjoying anything about God's saving grace. They don't want us to know or enjoy it. And in the process, to have that life relationship to God. So therefore, God and our old sin nature that we have is against it. The world system's against it. The God of this world, the devil's against it. So who's for it? God's for it. So therefore, God, you got to help us. And therefore, God, how can we enjoy this relationship? Therefore, we share together in John chapter 15, etc. You have to abide. You have to abide like the branch, like the branches. And you have to abide in order that you might enjoy life. Now you know all the branches are there. Pretty soon the leaves will all be there. Now, if you take any given branch, I didn't do that, but if you had one, and here's the tree with all the branches, and here's this branch. This branch is maybe whatever tree it is, and this branch has leaves, and let's make it going to have fruit, leaves and fruit. The next branch, is that going to have leaves and fruit? Is it going to be the same as this branch? 1, 2, 3, 4 branches. Why are all those branches the same? Same leaves, same fruit, everything's the same. They belong to the same tree. You abide in me, Christ, and every branch enjoys the same God in the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way God meant it to be. We're to enjoy God every way. And as you know in 1 John chapter 15, without turning there, you abide in me. If you don't abide in me, without me, no, like the tree, if you don't abide, you can do nothing. And this is the branch without the tree. And you can't do anything. You can't do anything. Can't do it. You're dead. John 15, 6. If the branch doesn't abide, men look at it and they cast it into the fire. Because they don't believe. They don't believe. They need to be abiding. What's abiding to? It isn't by our works of righteousness which we've done. It isn't our works. It isn't our effort. It isn't our energy. It isn't our little brain that makes it. No. The branch simply abides in the vine, the tree. And it enjoys the seasons, the storms, the problems. And the branch just abides. And its leaves are going to come. And the leaves are going to be there, the same as the other branches. So every believer, the local assembly is made up of believers. That is supposed to be abiding. Why abiding? Isn't it good? God says, you work at it. You do your best you can and be everything I want you to be. And we're all sitting here trying to be what? Like Christ. And we can't be like Christ. We have to measure up to God's righteousness, and we don't. So we don't do it. We just have a group of people that say we're Christians and everyone be happy, and we do what we do. But that isn't being saved. That isn't being saved. That's missing out. You're losing out. You aren't enjoying being saved. You have to abide. You couldn't ask God. God, you couldn't ask for something simpler. Abide. That's all I want you to do. I want you to rest in the pew. Believe it. Abide. Abide. I don't want you to make the pew the pew. I want you to just enjoy the pew being the pew. I want you to enjoy the hot dog being the hot dog. I want you to enjoy God being God and your Savior and your Lord, Lord, and your life and your love. I'll let God be it, like we shared on Wednesday. Why don't you just shut up and let me be God? That's what I want. Why don't you just be quiet? And look to me and let me be who I am. That's all I want. You couldn't ask for something simpler, right? So what do I need to do to get saved? What do I need to do, God? God says nothing. That's a lot of baloney, see? And we don't. We don't get saved. We don't enjoy being saved because our pride, our dumb pride. And so therefore, we did abide last time over and over and over again. Now, in the light of that, pick it up again, chapter 2 of 1 John, and in verse 24. Remember now we said, the Lord Jesus said, Matthew 11, 29, I'll put my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get your learning from me. Get your experience. Learn. What do we do under the yoke? The yoke, the Lord Jesus Christ is on one side of the yoke, and you put your head on the other side, and you learn. What are you going to learn? And we shared it all this last time. You're going to learn. The person that puts their head under the yoke, and the Lord's on the other side, God's going to take you. And you want to go over here, and you want to go over here, but you can't. Because the Lord's going down the car in paths of righteousness, he leads me. Like you can't do it. As long as your head's under the yoke and you're forced to learn to do it right as you go down the corridor of time. You're forced to do it because you're under the yoke. Chapter Matthew 11, 29, put your head under the yoke and get your learning from me. Let bring into your experience being under the yoke, being God's, letting God be God in your life. Let that, learn that he is your God who created you and died on the cross to save you. It's a wonderful thing. Let it happen. Let it happen in your life. You don't make it happen. Just abide. That's all. Like the flowers abide and the trees abide. That's all I want you to do, is wonderfully, wonderfully, actively. Believe is an active verb. It isn't passive. It means believing, 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 abiding, being persuaded, rested down, abiding like again in the pew, letting God be God. Thank you very much. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, verse 24, therefore abide. Remember, we're looking at abide, to abide, to dwell, to find a home, to continue, to abide, is the verb. Let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, John 1:12, I received him as my Savior and I became a child of God. Then be a child of God. You didn't make yourself it. You didn't do it. God did. When you received Christ as your Savior, God saved you. He gave you a unique relationship to God as a family, as family. You're a child of God. Be one. Therefore, you heard that from the beginning. If, and it may or may not be true. Verse 24, that which you've heard from the beginning. Well, did you ever hear anything from the beginning? How did you ever get saved? How did you come to the Lord? You know, well, that's how do you get saved. As a beginning, well, I never did. Well, I did. I bowed my head and blah, 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 and I got saved. Really? How saved are you then? How saved are you? Really? How saved? Are you ready to drop dead? That's what I know. Are you ready to meet God? No. No, not really. See, you'll catch it in a sec. Now, so what are we saying? God, abide. But if you do, then you're, when God saved you, he didn't unsave you. You stay saved. John 1:12, he doesn't change. You're a child of God. God finds his home in your heart, and you'll find your home in God's wonderful person. Therefore, verse 24, if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, a word abide again. If it stays in you, you also shall continue, same word, abide, remain, abide, three times. You also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. In other words, you're going to stay saved. And you receive God as your Savior, and then he is your Savior. You're trusting the Father in a most wonderful way. And what's that going to do? God gives you that eternal life, verse 25. And this is that the promise, that he that hath promised us even eternal life. That's what God has done. And God has given us eternal life. Where's the life? In his Son, when you received him as your Savior. Sliding down, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him, abideth in you. There's the word again, abiding in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. So we're going to look to God, and God's going to do a wonderful thing in our Lord Jesus Christ. And God anoints. And how did he anoint? How did he set you apart? Why? He didn't have, like in the Old Testament, holy oil. You don't do that, no. Like the prophets, no. God, when you receive Christ as your Savior, God puts you in the anointed. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. God set you apart for sacred service. God set you apart in Christ to enjoy his wonderful person. And God is doing that and has done that. So you need to go and exercise that relationship to God that honors him. You have heard it from the taught. You've been taught it. I do want to make it. And keep in mind the same thing with you know all things. Sliding over to chapter 4, verse 2, verse 20 again. But you have an anointing, unction, same word, from the Holy One, Spirit of God, and you know all things, or you all know, and both are true. So now, what do? Well, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God gave you a unique relationship to his wonderful person and placed you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And did that so that you could enjoy a unique relationship to God. So, and when you, having done that, so having that relationship to God, exercising that relationship to God, and that's what you're to do. So, with a little baby comes forth in a human way and has to grow. Now, the little baby has started life. Little baby's going to live so long as a human. And the little baby starting out, if you could talk to the baby, tell the baby, here's the baby, make believe it can understand, you have a wonderful life. You have a wonderful bed. You have a wonderful refrigerator. You have all of this. The little baby doesn't understand. Does the baby have that, though? The baby has it because the baby belongs to the family. and the baby has to grow and learn it. That's true physically. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you start out like the little baby, and you're born again, and you have everything. God, the Father, God, the Spirit of God, knows everything, has everything, everything you're ever going to need forever. God has it. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, God gave it to you. And all you need to do is live and exercise life. What do you mean? Abide in the tree, abide in God, in Christ. Just abide and rest and let God produce. And the branch will grow and grow and grow. The tree and the branch grows. And season after season, it survives and grows. And leaf after leaf, storm after storm, when you come to the Lord as your Savior, you have a new life. It's His, and you already have it. You have eternal life, like we just read in verse 25. You already have it. Now let it learn to outwork it. And you have to grow up. You grow, and you live a day, a week, a year, 2 years, 10 years. You keep living and living. And you're growing, and you're growing, and you should be knowing, as you're knowing, not only physically and mentally, but now spiritually, you're growing. Why do you know everything? Because you started off having everything. Why does no man have to teach you? Because everything you need to know is in the knowing one, God. And all you have to do is go first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, you have to grow. And so what then you know? It just doesn't happen. And we get in frustrated, well, I don't know that. I tell people, used to come years ago, and they said, I don't even know how to find the book in the Bible, and you turn. I said, relax and do the best you can, inch by inch. And be patient with yourself, because that's what you have to learn. If you have a new job, you have to learn the job, don't you? You got a new job, and they're going to train you for the new job. You aren't going to do it start off like that, usually. You have to learn. When I went to Hughes 100 years ago in the process, and here's my dear supervisor sitting down, and whatever, and then I sat down the first day at work, and he came and put this big pile on my desk, big pile of books, TMs, test modifications, and all of that. And he said, go through these. This is what you're going to be dealing with. And you know what's awful? I fell asleep. I did. He had to wake me up. I said, what a boring thing this is to do this. Okay. You have to learn. And give yourself space. And pretty soon you'll be finding the right thing in the right way. But if you come home frustrated, I don't know what they're doing in the Bible, then you'll never learn. You got to start to grow and know. And patience. Be patient with yourself. You have to learn it. You can't learn everything like that. Some things you have to hear over 25 times. And eventually it sinks in. And pretty soon you may get a piece today that will help you with some other pieces in your head and bring it together. But you have to get there, and you have to do that. So they got to grow. How are we going to grow? To abide, 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 abide. So therefore, the end of verse 27, and I won't read the whole verse, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you. That isn't some weird statement. It's a wonderful statement. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, right, is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now little children, abide in him. And when he shall appear, we may have and that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, boldness, free, frank boldness, not without fear, a wonderful boldness, confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to have to go and look to you to deal with us. And now, little children, be abiding, be present tense, be remaining, be abiding in him. That purpose, in order that you may, when he shall appear, he's going to appear, manifest himself, make himself known, and be revealed. And when he makes himself known, and we may have confidence, boldness, not ashamed at his coming. So we want to be what? We're abiding so that he's coming. He's wonderfully, wonderfully coming, and we need to be abiding. So in the process, verse 28, I have confidence to not be ashamed at his coming. So we're looking for his coming, not to shrink back, and say, to draw back, whatever, and drawing back. In other words, instead of looking for his coming, blessed hope, we draw back because we aren't looking for his coming. We're not abiding. If you're not abiding, you're not resting, and you're not healthy. You got to be abiding so that you're knowing. And that you have hope. If you don't abide, you don't have any hope. You don't have any expectancy. Hope is an active, wonderful, wonderful word. Expectant, anticipating. I'm anticipating X. I'm anticipating each step of the way, each minute, lunch, etc. And as you go down the corridor of time, you're anticipating the next second because this second disappears. And everything you lost in those 2 seconds is all gone. You can never have it back, as you know. Now, having said that, so here's God's wonderful person. And now, look at that, I want to shrink back. Now, if you're doing your own thing in your own way, are you looking forward to his judgment, his coming? If you do your own thing in your own way, are you looking for his coming? You got your plans? No. In other words, if I'm guilty, I'm not with it. I'm not looking for his coming. Boy, he could come today. Not today, God. I got to have lunch. See? We aren't looking for his coming. We're ashamed. We are looking for his coming. We got our plans, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to go to the island of Podunk and fish for whales. You know, it's a silly thing, but I'm going to do it. No. Judgment. And to add to that, I was interested in it. There's a cardinal, Roman Catholic cardinal, and years ago. And he said he would rather have his part in Paris than in paradise. I would rather have my part in the future in Paris, not paradise, not God's heaven. I'd rather have my part in going to Paris, the Eiffel Tower, etc. Now, and after that, quote, the one he was certain of, the cardinal was certain of Paris, but he was not certain of paradise. He was not ready. I'm not ready for heaven. I'm not ready for God. What are you doing, God? We're supposed to be abiding. And if we're abiding, we're going to be what? Looking, because God's going to outwork his will. In our knowing, in our showing, God's going to outwork his will in a wonderful way as I abide. So as I'm abiding, and God decides to take us home, even now, I'm ready. I'm resting in. God's giving his grace, his love, his everything for me, for you, so that I can be at peace and trust God and go down and do everything I'm supposed to do in the best way I can, trusting God. And God, I'm ready, whatever you want for the next minute. I'm abiding. This isn't abiding. This doesn't enjoy anything we're talking about. But I'm a believer. You may be, but you don't enjoy anything. Come on. None of this goes right through your head. Yeah, that's right. Because it's a relationship. It's a wonderful relationship, and it changes your life. That's what it does now. And if you don't abide, it doesn't work. So therefore, verse 28, and now little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, you shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over and remember now, looking at his coming, here's the Apostle John, the last living apostle, writing. And in writing, and way back in the Gospel of John, 40 years ago or so, he wrote, finished John chapter 21. What did you write, John, in chapter 21? Over, if you would, hold your finger here and over to John chapter 21 and remind yourself. When John is writing all those years ago, and you will note, if I can, John chapter 21, picking up, if I may, in verse 21. Remember, God says that Peter's going to be crucified in the days ahead, and Peter wants to know what's going to happen to John. And therefore, verse 22, Jesus said unto him, if I will that he, John, tarry, stay here, abide, till I come, that is, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. If I want John to be living, I'm going to have you crucified. And they say, tradition says, he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be like us. He felt he wasn't worthy. No. But now, so what he's saying, if I want John, I want you to die, Peter, and I want Peter, John, the Gospel of John, to live. Now here's John, 40-something years later. He's still alive. Still alive. And what are you saying, John? You need to abide and wait for, you're waiting for his appearing. That keeps you with it. You lose that when the church has lost it. Very rarely do you hear across the globe, comparatively, I'm sure. You're looking for his imminent return. You don't hear that. We don't even do it. We have no idea. We're planning for the next whatever. And that's what we do. We have no thought about his coming. And therefore, we're going to be ashamed. That's assuming we're saved. We'll be ashamed. Be ashamed. Now, in order to see that a little bit, over if you would to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, pick up. And you'll see it. You've got to abide. If you don't abide, you aren't going to love his appearing because you're letting him be God. And what do you know about your Savior and God in your life? That God's going to do what he's going to do. And you're trusting him, his mercy and grace, hour by hour, day by day. You do your work, you do your school, you got to do everything you can. That's what you do. And you're trusting God to enjoy your unique relationship to him. So therefore, 1 Thessalonians, and you will note, sliding over, they got saved in a wonderful way. Verse 5, for our gospel came not in OT unto you in word only. In other words, I did this, I did this, I did that. That may or may not be good. Maybe. But what is missing in the general Christendom today? What's missing in the churches? Real believing. Real believing. That's missing. No. That's why we got where we're at. Therefore, what makes the difference? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Ghost, and in M-U-C-H, assurance, much assurance. Boy, did you get saved. Is that how you got saved? That doesn't mean I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm asking how you got saved. I don't know. How much was it dynamic? Did you really get saved? Oh, I did. I did whatever. Did you really get saved? Boy, let's see the difference. You see? They get saved with much assurance, and therefore, verse 6, and you became followers of us. In other words, you changed. That's right. I'm a believer. I belong to the body. I'm in a God. I'm there. I'm abiding. And you became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Verse 7, so that we were, you were examples, you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, northern Greece, southern Greece. You were examples. In other words, this guy, this girl is really saved. And when you see him, this person's different. It has saved. That's the way it should be. Not waiting 10 years. I never heard a word out of you that even told me you were saved. I never heard any evidence. There must be something somewhere if you're abiding. Something I never heard your whole life. I never heard anything that even gave me a clue that you knew him. Something's drastically missing, you see. And that's the system. They were saved wonderfully. And thus they were saved, and they turned, verse 9, and they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And what else, dear friend? They got saved, they were abiding in Christ, verse 10, and they were waiting for the Son from heaven, among whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're looking. We got saved. We got saved, and we're looking for his coming. That's what happens. Well, we're looking for it. How can I look for it? Because it's fresh in my head, and heart. I'm looking for it. Looking for it, God. When you lose that, oh, you're in trouble. Because then you're missing out. You're trying to enjoy life without living it. How do you enjoy life without living it? You don't. So, with wrath, and that's what it did, sliding over just to see it. They're looking for his appearing. Chapter 2, you know it, verse 19. For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of rejoicing? Are not ye, you're believers, looking for the same Lord, and ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? We're looking. That's right. We're going to keep. Why do you keep saying that? Because you're looking for his coming. That's why you keep saying it. Okay, chapter 3 and verse 13. And to the end, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He's coming. Boy, you did it again. That's right, because you're abiding. And if you're looking to God, what's a healthy believer? A healthy believer understands he's coming. That's what they know. Well, I don't know. Then you aren't very healthy. That's my word to you. You're not very healthy. And you got to be healthy. So, are you going to encourage me to live for God? That's what I want to know. Is your life encourage us to live for God? That's the question. To honor God, to abide. Does your life do that? Does my life do that? That's what you ask yourself. That's us. That's us in our humanness. Now, chapter 4, as you know, you read it. Chapter 4, verse 13, 14, 15, 16. Read it. And I would have you to be ignorant, brethren, Concerning verses to verse 13 of chapter 4, them which are asleep that died, that you sorrow not even as others, which have no hope, because you feel that they missed out, they died, and they got missing your being caught up in the rapture. You're coming. And they died. They missed out. No. Verse 14, and if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In other words, they're going to come with me. But be good cheer. They're going to come. The Lord's going to come in the clouds. I am, verse 15, and this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of our Lord shall not prevent, hinder them that are asleep. In other words, Peter, James, and John are going to be there, and here's our Lord coming up in the clouds, so we don't have to go all the way up to the moon, and here's coming. And what are we going to do? And there's Peter, James, and John, and here we are. And we're all going to get a resurrected body at the same time to be like him. In a moment, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Caught up, that's a forceful word, to be grabbed and taken up with force. And it, like 1 Corinthians 15, in a millisecond, a nanosecond, how's that? Gone. Will I be ashamed? Am I looking? All of a sudden, it's different. I wasn't even looking, God. They're going to be ashamed in some form. Not much, but some form. I don't know it. Because I'm going to be changed. So whatever stupid thoughts I have, and whatever dumb things I do, and however dull my brain is, God, in that moment, I am going to see differently, think differently, feel differently. God, I don't want to go back. You understand? I'm staying. See? I'm not going back anywhere. No, sir. Now, having said that, I have caught up in that which caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, and ever be with the Lord, comfort one another, verse 18, comfort with these words. Give your heart a good talking to. Be comforted. And you know the times and seasons. We do. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, etc. The pace. What are we looking for? Revelation chapter 6. And the Antichrist comes, and how's he going to start? Peace. The world's looking for someone to put the pieces together, and he says, I'm going to come and bring peace. When peace and safety, when you hear that, then that's the beginning. You won't hear it until then. There's no way peace and safety now. But then will be. Then it will be. And who makes it? The Antichrist does. A false peace. Now, having said that, over if I can, to verse 9. For God hath appointed, for God hath not, in OT, appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, whether we're here or sleep, we die, we should live together with him, no matter how we cut the cookie. Therefore, verse 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you add God, how's that going to happen? Because, verse 5 and 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will, what? Do it. Who do it? Just be abiding. You couldn't ask for a more awesome, full, dynamic relationship. Be believing. Be abiding. Oh, God, I got other things to do. I'll read my devotional book when I go to bed. Good for you. Good for you. What'd you do the rest of the day? See, be abiding. You go to work, you go to school with God. You bring God to the bathroom. You bring God to the kitchen. You bring God to work. You bring God to school. Your little heart, you bring God. Wow. You're his witnesses to God's saving grace. God saved me. I didn't deserve to be saved. No, I'm nobody. But God created me and us in his image and likeness to be saved. God meant us to be saved, wants us to be saved, died to save us. Then be saved. Be saved. That's what you do. Wow. And God, what are you going to do? As the branches, I don't want to be like this. I don't want, this branch isn't abiding. Well, but it's full. It's full of the rest of the people. And we look around. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're, we're all dead. We're all branches, dead ones. Remember that, like the song, the congregation of the dead, I always like to read that, you know. You go, where do we go? To the congregation of the dead. That's where I go, where the dead people are. They're all dead. They have no life. Boy, do they have a worship service. Boy, can they make a lot of noise. Boy, do they jump around. They're dead. They're dead. No. I got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you. Deal with our heads and hearts and help us, that we might learn well and learn rightly, God. It's just little old us. And you know, God, what can I tell you? So you have to help us. You have to help us. We're sort of stupid and stubborn, God, more than we ought to be. And we don't want to be ashamed at your coming. God, we want to be enjoying, growing, and knowing inch by inch as we abide in our unique relationship to you, and waiting for you to take us home. And our God, we thank you in all of this, for all of this. Help us in every way. And our Father will thank you. In Christ's name, amen.